Hey, this is Daniel Russo from Port Coquitlam, British Columbia, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups on the Sens Underground Network.
Episode 3 for September 19, 2012.
I'm sorry. That's the only episode I can do for Russell. I can't do it.
This is Series 1.
Welcome to Series 1, Episode 3 for September 19, 2012. Live from Studio 65, I am Cardinal. And I'm here with Pan and Canuck. We are the Sens Call-Ups, broadcasting on the Sens Underground Network. You can reach us via via podcast at senscallups.com. You can follow us on Twitter at senscallups, or you can post in the forums at sensunderground.com. Gentlemen, after that sort of intro, I hear your giggles. How's your summer been?
Oh, it's good. It's going. How was your night tonight, Cardinal?
For
those of you who don't know, Cardinal went out tonight and had a little bit to drink and some pre-game, I guess,
lubrication
meal with
some pre-game libations, because there's a lockout going on, and quite frankly, I'm very upset about it. So I'm living in a perpetual haze because it's the only way I can deal with it. Honestly, it's the only way I can deal with it. So yeah, I was out for dinner, had a few drinks with dinner, so we're good to go.
Yeah, see how you cut yourself off when you just had a little bit of drinks?
A little bit of drinks. We're good to go. This should be an entertaining podcast, I hope, for everybody. The three of us are here. We're all, I think, just like everybody else in the NHL fan world, we're all pretty pissed off about the fact that there's a lockout going on. So there's going to be a little bit of ranting going on. There's going to be a little bit of raving going on. And hopefully we'll be at least a little bit entertaining. But here we go for September 19th. Let's get at it. Lots to talk about today. Lots to talk about in the last little while since we were talking to you folks from obviously there's a lockout going on. There's also some information to talk about the Senators themselves, some what's going on around the league, what's going on even in the rest of the hockey world. Let's go. Anyone? Ready? Go!
So what's new in the NHL?
Well, what's new in the NHL is there's a lockout. I'm sure this comes as a revelation to absolutely nobody. There's lots of rhetoric going on. I've noticed that it's been sort of increasing in the past few days, both from the player side and from the owner side. Specifically, owners. Not management, but owners. I noticed that when Gary Bettman is talking or when John Daly is talking, it's really about the owners. I would say that it's probably the owners of, I can't think of their name, the guy who owns the Bruins.
Yeah, and the Flyers.
And the guy who owns the Flyers seem to be driving the bus at the moment. I'm hoping that one of these days, the owners of the bottom 20 teams in the NHL turn to them and say, hey, you know what? Shut the hell up. The rest of us, we're barely breaking even over losing money. We have a say in this too, not just you guys who are making tons of money.
Well, Gary Bettman, he got unanimous vote of support from all the owners, correct?
Yeah.
And one of those owners is Eugene Melnick. So he's lost some points in my books.
I'd say that's at the moment.
Yeah. I think you've got to look at it on I guess the business side for the owners.
Yeah.
I don't think management would be involved in this because it's not their decision to make.
Yeah, but, and that's one of the things I was looking at is there's a difference between ownership and management. Because a lot of the management in the teams around the world, whether it's the general manager, whether it's the VP of hockey operations, whether it's the special assistant to the whoever, these are all ex-hockey players. They're all guys who've played the game, and I think they're probably more on the side of the players than on the side of the owners. Meanwhile, the owners are the – I mean, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but they're the rich guys who own teams, who have nothing to do with hockey. They've never played hockey. They're just the people who own these teams, right?
Yeah.
And I think that there's a big difference between these two, ownership and management. And Gary Bettman is very much catering to the ownership side, specifically to some Jacobs, I think his last name, the guy who owns the Bruins.
I think Jacob. So, yeah.
Him and Ed Snyder and a couple of other guys seem to be running everything at the moment, rather than the people who own the sort of lower down teams, the ones who are losing money. I don't think Bettman's speaking for them. That's just my opinion as a podcaster who knows, you know, nothing. But I think Bettman is really speaking for the Ed Snyders and the Jacobs of the world at the moment. That may change.
Well, that's his job, right? He's supposed to do that. And I can appreciate that. Well, I'm not a millionaire. I'm not an NHL owner. I don't know what that kind of pressure would feel like. But I understand for them, yes, there's a love of the game, but it's also, at the end of the day, a business, an investment, and their interests need to be protected. Fine, I get that. But what I don't get, I know we're getting into this more later, is how is nothing happening at all somehow a better decision? And better financial decision than going ahead with what you had, you know.
Well, I think the point with that, though, is that there is, and this is in our notes here, but the 13 teams that lost money. If you got 13 teams that lose money, they would rather have a lockout than lose money again.
You think?
You can't operate on a loss like this.
Aren't they losing now?
Well, they're as opposed not to losing money with having no revenue at all.
Well, you don't have the expenses.
I see what you're saying.
Okay. I hadn't thought of it that way. But I mean,
here's a list that you've got here because teams that lost money: Coyotes, Ducks, Sharks, Panthers, Lightning, Hurricanes, Islanders, and apparently the Sabres lost a lot.
Yeah, I didn't have the complete list. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it, but. You know, there are lots of teams that have lost money, and I mean, there are teams that have won, right? There are lots of teams that are, well, not lots. There are some teams that have been making money. They're all the teams that we know of, the Flyers, the Habs, the Canucks, the Leafs, the Rangers, you know, the big money teams. And they're also the teams on the cusp, on the, did we make money, did we lose money? And I think Ottawa's probably in that group. Did they make a little bit? Did they lose a little bit? It's probably in there somewhere.
I think Ottawa's got to manage things in a very specific way, though.
And because their payroll was very low, because they had so many young players last year, I presume they're probably just on the we made money. Because we made it to the first round, we made it to 7 games, we had 3 home games in the first round, we have a low payroll because we barely at the cap floor, probably made money. But, you know, it's very close to the did we make, did we lose,
mm-hmm.
right? There's not a big difference there. And the difference could be did we make it into the playoffs and we had 3 playoff games. That could be the difference.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, you don't know because if making the playoffs is where you make the profit, I think a lot of teams run that way, but that is a big risk that you take when only 16 teams make it to the first round.
Exactly.
And then you really only guarantee yourself 2 home games. Touching on that, though, because when we're looking at 13 teams losing money, but the revenues are up from $2.1 billion to $3.3 billion, maybe it's just those big market teams that you mentioned, like the Flyers and the Rangers. The league as a whole is probably making more, but maybe those teams are making 3 to 4 times as much.
Yeah.
And then other teams, like, and I've put on it on Twitter, is you've got Phoenix and the Islanders. You can't make money on 2,000 tickets.
It's hard to say. Exactly. It's really hard to say.
Is that just eclipsing what the losses are?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It's really hard to say where. I looked so hard to try and find. I heard Pierre Maguire referenced 13 teams that lost money the other day when he was on Tigor on Team 1200. And I looked and I looked and I looked and I tried so hard to try and find a list of which teams made money and which teams lost money. And I think the NHL is being very candid about which teams lost and which teams won and which teams were on the cusp and which teams were just sort of a little bit.
Of course they are.
Well, they're a business and businesses don't want to advertise the fact that they've lost money or that, you know, they're on the cusp. I understand that. So I couldn't find a complete list of those 13, but if Pierre Maguire says, I've seen a list of 13, I'll take it as read. You know, that is gospel because I trust Pierre Maguire to tell the truth on that. So if there were 13 teams that lost money, you know, where do you put the point of break even? Well, we made $1,000. That makes you profitable. Who's to say? But the really profitable teams, there can't be all that many of them, really, yeah. When it gets right down to it.
4 or 5 tops, probably.
Exactly. Even if there are 8 that are truly profitable and 13 that lost, that's a big chunk that are just on the cusp of making money or losing money, which is, I mean, as a hockey fan, that's what I expect. And I expect Ottawa to be in that cusp. Who made money? Who lost money? Quite frankly, last year, I think Eugene Melnyk was probably on that cusp. But where we go going forward.
Going forward.
Yeah, okay. I'm throwing a flag on myself for using that term. Poof. Going forward. I think that Ottawa is probably, you know, right on that brink, at least for the next couple of years, until we really establish a big season ticket base.
Oh, I'm sure we're on that cusp. Probably exactly. One of the things that helps us is that we are lower, like we're just barely above the cap floor. I think we're technically a couple million below it right before the lockout happened. So
exactly. Well, yeah. Winnipeg, I would expect to be there, and they've sold out their building for the next 5 years. But I bet Winnipeg is right on that cusp too.
Oh, I'm sure they are
because they have a small building.
Yeah,
you know, and they don't have a big payroll, but they don't have a big building either.
Well, like Winnipeg made it a team when they bought the team, saying, we didn't buy the Atlanta Thrashers. We didn't buy us because the Thrashers were really close to making it to the playoffs. And Winnipeg was up front. It's like, we didn't buy this team. We bought the ability to have an NHL team. Yeah. Knowing that they're going to be budget because I think they've got 15 or 16,000 seats, they can't have guys making $8 million a year.
Yeah, just under 16 is sellout in the MTS Center. So it is a very small arena, but they sell it out every night, as opposed to the Floridas and Phoenixes, which are selling, well, they say that they have 12,000 seats a game, but, you know, how many of those are giveaways, et cetera?
Oh, we printed that many tickets. I don't know. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So it is a big... You know, there's a big gray area in the middle of all of this. And that's, I think that gray area is the big problem in the negotiations for the CBA right now. You know, where does that gray area fall? How do we define whether a team is profitable or not? How do we decide what is hockey-related revenue, et cetera, et cetera? I'm so sick of it. We're, what, 4 days into this? And I'm already sick of it. How sad a statement is that as a hockey fan? Well, I think it's a truthful one, to be honest. But it's like, okay, guys, sit down, make a deal, get it done.
I really think there's two ways to fix this. Because of the amount of losses on the teams.
Wait, is it a legal way to fix this? Does it involve murder?
Oh, yeah. I'm just looking at the numbers because you know how much I like my math. But...
math is a wonderful thing.
Solid.
So with that, what I'd be looking at is, one, you can either adjust your expenses, which is a way that the league's looking to do it, where you're rolling back players or increasing the escrow, which is essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
Or, and I think this is what baseball did it, and Don Fair was there during, I don't know much about baseball, but a revenue share.
Yep. And that's what the Players Association is discussing, and the owners don't seem to want to talk about. Like, the league doesn't want to talk about revenue sharing. They want to talk about lowering the players'
salary
percentage.
Yep, which is insane.
Meanwhile, the players are going, well, hang on. You keep comparing ourselves. You keep saying, well, you know, Major League Baseball and the NFL and all these other professional sports, they all have 50% and they work and blah, 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 but they also have revenue sharing, and the NHL doesn't have that.
Yep.
So you can't talk about one half without talking about the other.
Isn't the entire Kansas City Royals baseball team basically funded by the Yankees through revenue sharing?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yankees, sure. And the revenues and a few others. Absolutely. But
is it a healthy league? Yes.
It's a healthy league. It makes, well,
it's not parity, though.
They're not necessarily competitive.
It's not parity. Exactly. It's not parity, but it is a healthy league.
Yes.
So which do you want? And that's the way I've been looking at it, because, I mean, I was stunned the other day. I am a follower. I am a subscriber to Twitter, and I follow a lot of interesting feeds on Twitter. And I follow capgeek.com on Twitter. And CapGeek and Bob McKenzie were sort of retweeting each other the other day, which I thought was rather interesting. The whole concept of parity and work, you know, everybody being on equal footing is thrown out the window when you look at what some teams are paying in the terms of signing bonuses in this upcoming season. So for 2012-2013,
because signing bonuses have to be paid, right?
Yeah, I think they're paid July 1.
They have to be paid regardless of the lockout, but they still count towards the cap. That's what really freaks me out. And you look at a team like Buffalo that is paying $20.75 million in signing bonuses, but they're still under the cap.
That's a third of the salary cap, is it not? Like, isn't it around $60 million?
Exactly.
Who does Buffalo have for that amount?
They've signed some...
Miller?
Well, I don't have it broken down, but they have some very bizarre contracts with some huge signing bonuses. Huge. Huge. And it's bizarre to look at the fact that there are some massive signing bonuses, but they're still under the salary cap. Minnesota has $20 million of signing bonuses also, but they're under the salary cap. Minnesota, which also signed $13 year, $98 million contracts, while their GM is saying, "Oh, we need to have some sort of money equal payment system going on." Craig Leopold needs to be shot, well, not literally, but figuratively, because he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. But it's absolutely ridiculous that the number of bonuses, the amount of signing bonuses that are being paid, even though the lockout is going on, but that still fall under the cap.
Does Ottawa have any signing bonuses?
They normally do.
They have a few. They're not in the top 10 of the league. The top 10 in signing bonuses of the league are Buffalo, Minnesota, Nashville, yeah, Tampa Bay, Chicago, New York Rangers, Vancouver, Columbus, Montreal, and Toronto. Thank you, capgeek.com.
Yeah, you look at these, but Minnesota, that was Parise and I always say it's Suter. I don't know if it's Suter or Sutter.
Nashville, I think, is mostly Weber.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Because the way that these contracts were written up is because, well, these were the what is it, the lockout protected contracts? Because yeah, I think both of the Minnesota guys get maybe $12 million on or they got it on July 1. Yep. And are expected to make $500,000 during the season.
Yeah, their signing bonuses are huge, but they're playing amounts are actually quite small because that's the way the contracts are signing up. And I give the agents full credit for this because they knew that this was probably coming, so they negotiated contracts so that their customers, the players, were making their money up front regardless of whether there was a lockout or not. Full credit to these agents for negotiating it this way, and the teams signed it. So, obviously, the teams were okay with it.
It's an agreement.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, Shea Weber, his contract, which we'll talk about later, I don't want to get into it too much now, but his contract is so front-loaded with, you know, signing bonuses and yearly bonuses and all that. It's just insane. But that's the way that the offer from Philadelphia was made.
Yep.
And that's the one that Nashville agreed to equal. Uh-oh. So there you go.
I don't have much problems we can talk about this later.
Because okay. I'm pretty pissed about Philadelphia even making that offer in the first place. But there you go.
And am I correct that the contracts had been bought out previously, that the players, say they're not playing or they're on our team, do they still get paid by that organization?
Yep.
So
absolutely.
So Toronto is still playing Darcy Tucker.
Yep.
No, Toronto's not paying only Darcy Tucker. They're also paying Colby Armstrong. So they're paying both. They're paying Darcy Tucker for two more years, and they're paying Colby Armstrong, who's now under contract for Montreal. Yes.
You know what, though? This actually makes me feel kind of better for Bobby Butler.
Yeah, because we're only paying him $50,000, and he's under contract to New Jersey?
Yeah, and he's got a two-way, so he's playing this year in Albany.
Good for him. Hey. So
good for him.
Well, if he can work it out and make it back to the big leagues, good for him. I got no problem with that. None at all. So there we go with the signing bonuses. Under the CBA, I mean, moving on to other subjects, today we found out that we have a third senator who's now playing elsewhere. I mean, first Gonchar signed with Metallurg Magnitogorsk.
Can you say that name again one more time?
No. He's going to be playing with Malkin. They both signed with the same team. And Dogovin's Domino Riga. That was the team that he played for before, and they said, yes, we welcome. We want him. He signed with them. Spezza just signed today with Rapperswil. I think they're called the Wings. I'm not positive. I've been trying to find that today in Switzerland, in the Switzerland. I don't know whether it's elite league. Yeah, there you go.
So there's no more pressing points here, is there? The owners, they've cut some of their costs. They don't have to play these players, and the poor players trying to maintain their luxurious homes and cars, they're just playing elsewhere.
Exactly. Well, actually, Ottawa cut. They've cut the salary for Spartacat.
I love that. I just love that Twitter account.
It's a great Twitter account. Spartacat's been cut. So has the Panthers mascot, who's Stanley C. Panther, by the way. He's been cut.
So there's no more Spartacat right now, or he's just suspended?
There's no more Spartacat. Spartacat. He's been cut. So he has no more salary. So Gonchar, Dogovins, and Spezza are still be playing, but Spartacat, he's unemployed. He's on the dole queue. He's looking for somebody to hire him. He's actually looking to see if the 67s will hire him.
You know, this is actually the people that it hurts.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you look at it, the people who work out at Scotiabank Place, at least they have the 67s games there because the 67s game home opener is Thursday, the 20th. And they'll be playing all their home games out at Scotiabank Place for the next 2 years. So at least they have all the employees who work at Scotiabank Place have that to fall back on. But for a lot of the arenas in the National Hockey League, there's suddenly 40 days or 40 nights of employment that they no longer have. Unless there's another team that plays there. You know, like in LA, they have the Lakers. And they have...
Clippers also play there?
Thank you. I was like, what's the other NBA team? So they have the other NBA teams in that building. So it's a very busy building. In Washington, they have the Wizards. So you know, there are some buildings that have other revenue coming in, but in some NHL buildings, that's it.
Do you know what happened to the Civic Center guys, though? Did they all get laid off, or they take it master?
Well, the Civic Center is under renovation for the next 2 years with all the work that's going on at Lansdowne Park, Frank Clair Stadium, etc. Right.
So, did those ticket reps get laid off, or?
Well, the ticket reps and all the people who work at the concessions knew that they were going to be unemployed for the next 2 years because there's nothing going on at the Civic Center for the 67s for the next 2 years. Okay. That's because of the renewal of that entire area.
Gotcha.
That's why the 67s are out at Scotiabank Place.
Okay.
I mean, they tore down the Coliseum. They're moving the they've torn down every building basically except one, which is the one that they're moving. That's the horticultural building that they're moving over towards the Aberdeen Pavilion. And then they're going to be building all sorts of residential space and building a new south side stands and so on. Gotcha. That's the whole Lansdowne renewal as part of the getting an ML a soccer franchise and a CFL franchise. So,
yeah. Oh, hey,
really? That
I just got a LinkedIn connection. Spartacat wants to connect with me.
Very solid. So, the Civic Center is dark for the next 2 years, and that's why the 67s are out at Scotiabank Place. So, at least the people who work at Scotiabank Place have those. Roughly, I can't remember exactly how many games are in a home schedule for OHL, but at least they have those home dates to replace the NHL dates if the NHL lockout goes long term. If it goes short term, I mean, we all pray that it does.
Yeah. And that's going to be killer because you know you're just sitting there on call all the time, right?
Exactly.
Now, Labrue, Shanghai Senator, I'm sure you guys are following along with the description of how the city works with all the renovations. So
I'm sure you really give a crap.
Just Google Maps it; it'll be fine.
Exactly. one's in Ottawa South in the Glebe. One's way out in Kanata. Two very, very different areas.
Yeah, way out in Kanata.
Exactly. Now we only have those three. Am I correct that there are only three senators who have signed so far to play elsewhere? Gonchar, Daugavins, and Spezza. I know there's been talk about Regan going back to his team in Denmark, but I haven't seen if he's actually signed there. So as far as I know, there's only three of them.
I'd be concerned about his rehab, though. He might be an insurance thing.
Yeah, exactly. But so far, there are only those three, correct? I haven't seen anything else? Okay.
Paulson's hanging on for a bit.
Yeah. And we have McCulloch, who's on IR, so he's technically not locked out. So he's the only player who gets to go to Scotiabank Place and use the gym and use the rehab facilities and so on. And he's making what?
4.75 is his contract.
So what's that a day? About 13K a day? Yeah. Not a game, but a day?
Yeah, I took that and divided it by 365.
I wonder what the rules were for getting put on the IR. Like, could you just suddenly trip and fall a couple days before the lockout and get placed on it? I wonder how that works.
He had surgery. He had an abdominal injury of some sort, so that's okay. But he's actually getting paid through this lockout because he's injured. But he's the only one, isn't he? I haven't heard of anybody else who's injured.
At least no one that's significant. Can you imagine if Anderson would have cut his hand during this?
That's what he should have done. He should have had some more chicken.
Jeez.
Why'd you have to go and hire that chef?
Now, in the absence of Senators hockey, there will be Binghamton Senators hockey on the Team 1200 radio and on the Team 1200.com. So anybody who's anywhere in Canada, you can tune in to Team1200.com and listen to the games of the Binghamton Senators. As far as I know, if you're in the U.S., go to the BinghamtonSenators.com and you can get a link to the regular fee that they have. I'm in Canada, I'm in Ottawa, and we couldn't actually listen to the feed for the Binghamton Senators because it's restricted to United States IPs only. I tried because we listened to them during the Calder Cup run and I really got into them and I wanted to listen to them last year and I couldn't. There was absolutely no access. I actually emailed the Binghamton Senators play-by-play guy and said, I'm in Canada, really enjoyed listening to you during the radio. I'm trying to listen to you online. Is there any way I can find to get around this? And he said, well, you've probably tried everything that I know of, so no.
I don't remember that restriction, although I remember watching the games on AHL Live, which, of course, you know, would have worked.
Exactly.
And like you said, the Calder Cup run, they were streaming it. I guess I didn't check it after that.
Yeah. Their play-by-play guy is a fellow by the name of Grady Wittenberg. He actually does a really good play-by-play. So if you're in the U.S., go to binghamtonsenators.com and look on their website for the link to the live feed. If you're in Canada, go to team1200.com. The Team 1200 is going to be carrying Binghamton Senators games. The guy's name is Grady Wittenberg. He does a really good job. He's not the voice. He's not Dean Brown, but he really does a very good job of calling the game and sort of giving. It's only one guy, and he sort of does the play by play and the color, and he does a really good job at giving the whole sort of the atmosphere of what's going on at the game.
He gets pretty excited too.
He does. He does. But he does a good job at it.
My first exposure to him, I think, was the Calder Cup run last year. It was round one, game six. I was listening to him. And, I was actually watching it on AHL Live, and in that particular audio feed, you could hear what he was saying when they went off the air. So on the radio, they probably went to a commercial break, but they still had his mic running. And, you know, and you get some really funny comments. He did have a color commentary guy at that point. And I do remember this, I think it was game six, the BSens pulled their goalie and just tied it with seconds to go.
That was series one.
Like they almost lost that series like three or four times.
Oh, that was crazy.
And you know, then they go into the break because it's going into overtime. Like they should have lost it right there. And he's like, oh, Lordy. You know, and just all these different comments like that.
That was fun, actually. And he does do a good job. He really does do a good job. So if this lockout does go long term, tune in. Because we'll get to the lineup of the BSens. We'll just say for now, they're going to be stacked.
Well,
there's going to be a lot of talent down there.
So I think all the AHL teams are going to be fairly stacked, right?
They are. It's going to be very, very... Well, Edmonton sent Nugent Hopkins, Eberle, Hall, and somebody else down.
I don't think Hall could go. I think Hall was...
No?
Hall couldn't. Eberle could.
Okay,
I stand corrected. But even at that... If Yakupov would have stuck around, that would have been insane. I think he did the right move, but
The OHL is going to be pretty entertaining too, because I mean Cody Ceci, who's the first round pick of the Ottawa Senators, he's back with the Ottawa Senators. He's going to be a co-captain. He's going to be a captain for the home games, and Sean Monahan is going to be the captain for the 67s for the away games. And for those who haven't heard of Sean Monahan, because you don't follow the Ottawa 67s, he will be a top 10 pick in the 2013 NHL draft. He's that good.
Sweet. Awesome.
I've watched him. I mean, I go to 67s games, not as much as I used to. He is all that. He's the real deal.
I noticed BSens released their training camp lineups, and I noticed that Kramer was one of the forwards listed. So our peanut butter guy might get a shot at playing in the AHL too.
That's right. Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit. But their lineup is going to be huge. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. But I don't know about you guys, but I need a bit of a rant about this whole CBA lockout. I'm trying to keep it PG, so I'll just use the word garbage. You know the word I'm probably thinking of, but I'll try and keep it clean. I'll let you carry on with the whole thing. The one thing that really annoyed me, I mean, above everything else with this whole lockout and the ownership versus players and the rhetoric versus rhetoric, the one that really ground my gears, and I know it sounds petty, but listening to Cyril Leader, who's the president of the Ottawa Senators, and I usually have a lot of time for Cyril Leader because he's a pretty down-to-earth guy for an executive at a hockey club. He's pretty easygoing. He was on with the Sens Underground. He was on Team 1200. Like he puts himself out there. The one that really drove me insane was there was an interview with him on the radio the other day, and he used the term work stoppage three times. In under 2 minutes. This isn't a work stoppage, okay? That's a management term, work stoppage. This is a lockout.
Okay? Yeah, it's a PC unbiased word that he's trying to make it sound like it's not his fault.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of horse pucks, okay? It's not a work stoppage. It's a lockout. And no matter how much you say, oh, well, we're laying people off because of this work stoppage and this work stoppage is doing this. No, you locked the players out. The management of the teams of the NHL locked the players out. Let's call a spade a spade. It's not a gardening implement for the purpose of moving topsoil. All right? It's a spade.
Well, hold that rage thought, because we got to pause for a commercial break. When we come back, let's okay. get right down to the dirty here.
Okay.
Coming soon from NHL Entertainment. An agreement lost.
The existing CBA will expire at midnight tonight. A sad day for hockey.
A warden bent on control.
I dropped the puck! Me! Bill, get me a higher chair!
Inmates ready to riot.
Can you lose 10% of your 30 million?
A powder keg. Waiting to explode. Waiting. And still more waiting. Lockdown 2012.
Welcome to lockdown, biatches! You will not eat, sleep, pinch, or dangle without my say-so. Got it?
Starring Daniel Alfredson as a father dedicated to keeping his family together.
BB, where's the diaper cream?
And Sidney Crosby as the first one to crack.
Gary, I'm sorry. Take me back.
Also starring the Vancouver Canucks.
All right, boys, hit the ground and give me...
Wow, you guys did that fast. And Zdeno Chara as the sexually confused gentle giant.
Hi, Rumi.
Oh, God, no!
And introducing Gary Bettman as the warden.
So, Bill, we'll put the whole Toronto Maple Leafs roster right in the middle of the cell block. With that much suck all in one place, none of the other players will be able to escape.
One side won't bend.
57%. That way everything is fair. 50-50.
Neither will the warden.
47%. No, wait. 45. 40. And your firstborn.
Who will blink? And who will yield?
Gary, the union called. It's time to negotiate. No. I knock you all out.
Gary, you're in the bathroom. Now open the door.
But I locked them out. I win, right?
Lockdown 2012.
All proceeds from this film will go to hockey-related revenue. Wow. That movie's gonna suck. Okay, guys, let's get to it. So when this lockout started, whose side were you on? The owners or the players? And I've had a lot of shifts, I must say. So I'll start.
Okay.
The first thing that came to mind is, okay, the owners begged and pleaded, and they got their way on the last CBA. It really seemed like the players, they folded.
There was no begging and pleading. There was a... This is what's happening.
You're right. I was a little too polite there. So they got what they wanted.
Yep.
Now this CBA is expired, And they're complaining, we cannot operate under this system.
Yeah, so, the system that they designed that would be perfect for them doesn't work.
Yeah, so this, the problem was salaries are too high. We agreed, okay, players are being too greedy. We kind of sided with the owners last time. So now the owners are saying, we can't work under the system that we did. So immediately the owners got a lot of poop on their face right now. And I got a bit, and that's how I kind of felt coming into it. I kind of originally thinking, okay, I'm with the players this time. And you know what? I'm mad at both of them now, because I mean, the players, they're earning tons of money. I don't get this, because they're arguing over percentages, right? So 43, 57, should it be 50-50, whatever. But this isn't talking about their – is this talking about their salaries, or is this talking about the money they get kind of from the revenues generated from the NHL that's divvied up? No,
that's the salaries. The salaries are based on the hockey-related revenues. So I guess if the league doesn't make the target, that's what the escrow is for. So you don't get your escrow check back at the end.
Okay, look, how long ago was the last CBA negotiated? Seven?
7 years.
7 years.
Seven or eight, because they didn't an option.
Well, it was 7 years. The CBA was 7 years of playing time.
Is the economy different now than it was 7 years ago?
Yeah, it's much, much worse.
Are people all over North America and the world having to make concessions? Are they having to take step backs in salary or not get a salary increase? Or they have to do whatever they need to do to keep their jobs? The everyday person, it seems to be all over the place. They had to make concessions. Do we like it? No.
Hang on. There are concessions being made, but the Canadian dollar is worth almost 35 cents more.
Is that the only reason why we're surviving?
The caps helped.
Absolutely. But I mean, that's one of the reasons why the cap has gone up so much, is because the Canadian dollar has been so strong against the greenback. So, yes, the economy's a bit in the toilet, but the Canadian dollar is so much stronger than it was 7 years ago. So it's a bit of column A, a bit of column B.
Well, that's helping six of the teams that are profitable right now, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Like Paul Bissonnette's getting on Twitter. He's saying, these hockey players, including himself, they've worked on a skill, they've honed it, they've perfected it, and they deserve to be paid for it. I agree. You can bring up the whole argument about, well, a doctor saves lives and da 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 da. I get it. It's you're paying for entertainment. I'm not going down like the sports players are paid too much. But
so when Biz Nasty starts to show some type of quality, we'll tell you. These are some of the fringe players, right? And like, I understand that these really are the guys that are going to get hurt the most out of this. And yeah, when you've got 5-7 years at best to make really all the money that you're going to get for your life, it's very important.
Yeah, but Bissonnette deserves $1 million a year just for entertainment factor. He's the guy every single red-blooded male.
Well, we can watch him on Dancing with the Stars in a couple years.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they want to be playing, they could be playing now. They could make a one-year agreement at 50-50 and then keep talking during the year, but they're not going to do it because their egos are too much. And
I don't think anyone would want the 1 year, though. You've got to get something that works. What I was disappointed with,
better than nothing.
I'm actually on the player's side. But on the player's side was when Don Fehr was going all over the globe to meet with different players after the first offer that the league put in.
Yep.
That's wasting time.
Did Don Fehr ruin baseball?
No, I think baseball is far stronger than the NHL is right now.
I mean, from what I understand, he's the best union leader they've had. Nope. And I don't want to, diss unions, but unions serve a very important purpose. And, we celebrated Labor Day not so long ago. And, people can go to work now and not have to worry about workplace safety issues. And, I ain't going to work on the mine and I might die today, because that happens. Usually one or two people died today. I know they're important and these things are great.
Absolutely.
But I think anybody can agree that a lot of unions have gone way too far. Like the pendulum swung quite the other way. And everybody in the world is making concessions right now. And trust me, I am not in the owner's camp at all. But good grief, could they not just take a little salary step back and be playing hockey right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the biggest, and I mean, I speak as a hockey fan who, if anything, I'm a bit on the side of the players, but not completely. I think really the two sides need to make concessions and get playing. But the problem is Donald Fehr never lost. He's never lost in the baseball world. Gary Bettman has never lost in the hockey world. So you have two egos, big egos, who are going head to head, who have never lost. And out of that, who's going to lose? And gentlemen, it's you and I.
Oh, but the NHL issued a nice little statement to its fans, and the union issued a statement to its fans. They're both on our sides. They didn't say anything about us until, like, what, 11:59?
Oh my God, I can grow mushrooms out of that.
Do you have that a word stronger such, for garbage
that is
there?
Such compost.
You're going to get me again because the league said something about needing a sustainable brand in business.
They set the standard last time. The league set the standard 7 years ago.
How is Phoenix sustainable?
They got everything they wanted 7 years ago. And if they screwed up 7 years ago, it's up to them to make the concessions this time. Not to go, oh, we're gonna go for even more this time.
Yeah, because Lou Lamoriello finds a loophole.
Exactly. Exactly. Because Lou Lamoriello is a classic example of every GM who's found a loophole to get around the CBA that the league wanted and the league got after a year's worth of lockout.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I cannot be on the league side on this because they lost me as a hockey fan. They denied me an entire year, an entire season of hockey to get what they want. And then to turn around and say, well, you know what? We denied you an entire year of hockey, but we kind of screwed up and we need even more. No, sorry. Sorry. Absolutely, categorically, no.
There's a bunch of people to blame here. I mean, they're the ones signing the big contracts too, and you know, exactly. We're not talking. We talk about the players agreeing to sign it. Well, you mentioned it earlier. It's the agents. I mean, I'm trying to play out the scenario. It's hard to make comparisons, but let's say, okay, I work for a job. You know, they're paying me reasonable salary. I get a call from a headhunter. And, I can negotiate a higher salary, like maybe double, triple your salary. You can do the same kind of thing. Of course, I'm going to take it.
If someone's offering it, I'm taking it.
But what's going to happen is that after a little bit in the job, whether I'm fulfilling my job duties or not, the company can't afford to pay everybody these double, triple salaries and things are going to go bust. So I get it. I get it. But, everybody painted themselves into this corner. So just man up. 50-50, whatever you got to do, and get on with it. But, of course, that's too logical.
And not only is it logical, it's admitting a mistake. And there are so many big egos, and no offense to the listener base out there, coming from somebody who's 6'3", but Gary Bettman is about, what, 5'6"?
He's got a lot bigger than me.
He's got a lot of little man syndrome going on. And I say this as a tall person who is used to short men being very aggressive towards me because I'm tall. But Gary Bettman has a lot of little short man, I'm going to win at all costs, screw everybody else, I'm going to win syndrome going on.
And he's going to be shaking his little bobblehead all the way through the rest of the season.
It drives me insane because I have to deal with this on an almost daily basis. Whether it's walking down the street or meeting somebody at a doorway or whatever, it's almost like he's got this attitude that I don't care who else is in the arena. I am going to win and I'm going to win no matter what. And screw everybody else, fans, players, teams, people who work in arenas, I don't care. I'm going to win because I cannot lose face.
Well, Mr. Napoleon Complex, one of these days you're going to meet in Waterloo. And
exactly. You want to solve this problem? Get rid of Gary Bettman.
I don't know. I think there'd be some equal jerks who would take over his spot and fight the same battle. I mean,
you're right. What's the deputy guy?
Bill Daly.
Bill
Daly actually
the
makes
same.
Bill Daly actually makes far more sense without being quite as smarmy. But you want to get rid of this problem? You get rid of the owner of you take the following people out of the equation: Gary Bettman and the owner of the Boston Bruins, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Montreal Canadiens, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Vancouver Canucks. And the New York Rangers.
Well, hold on. I don't think there's a plane big enough to hold all the ownership of the Toronto Maple Leafs, is there?
We don't need a plane. We just need a plank. And they can jump off into the water, shark-infested water. Get rid of all these really big egos and bring the other 20 owners, the ones who are marginally profitable, the ones who are a little bit unprofitable, and the ones who are very unprofitable. Bring those 20 owners to the table and say, this is what we need to go forward. Players union, can we split it? Boom. I bet we'd be done in a week.
How is this improving
the game?
Be done in a week. Like, Gary Bettman is all big about showing the game off in the U.S. and growing the market. This is killing it.
You want to grow?
This is embarrassing.
You want to grow the market? Put a team in Hamilton. Put a team in Quebec City. That's how you grow the market.
But that's not how he wants to grow.
How much money did Phoenix drain from the whole system?
Or
when Paul Sillie wanted to buy Granny Pride and money for it more.
He doesn't like Paul Sillie, though. He can't do that.
No, because he's an attitude problem who doesn't play by the game. He doesn't play by the rules of Gary Bettman. I'm sorry.
He almost got him.
Yeah,
when
I don't
you're looking
believe in that
for
garbage.
The health of the league and the sustainability, yeah. Hamilton makes sense. Quebec City makes sense. I would even say Seattle makes sense.
Or Kansas City. Even Kansas City would make more sense than Florida.
Do you guys see that tweet and I apologize, this is off the top of my head, so the number is going to be wrong, but it went through the major leagues and how many games have been locked out. You know, NFL, zero. NBA, whatever that number was, it was half a season. Baseball, again, you know, that number was in a couple few hundred because of how many games they play. NHL, 1,600 and some games.
Yeah, that was like, that was one that I had sent out on the SCU Twitter feed, and it's ridiculous.
And we wonder why we're number five or higher in terms of popularity in the U.S. Like, this is going to drive it down.
Well, I think Shredder said it best. Over and over and over again, the NHL positions itself as a joke compared to Major League Baseball and the NFL and NBA, at least as far as the U.S. is concerned. It's a joke.
Jeremy Roenick said it best. Wake up, NHL.
Yeah, Jeremy Roenick, exactly. It's ridiculous. And I mean, we can go on and on for the next hour on this, and it's just stupid. There's no other word for it. It's stupid, but it's not going to get us anywhere. And until people are like Gary Bettman and Donald Fehr and Ed Snyder and somebody, Jones, I can't think of his first name, from Boston, are willing to put their egos aside because they're successful businessmen who are used to getting what they want, until they're willing to put their egos aside and do what's right for the entire league rather than what's right for their particular team. Until they're willing to put their egos aside to do what's right for the league, I'm going to be following an awful lot of junior hockey, AHL, English Premier League, NFL, but not the NHL. That's the end of it.
And this is coming from diehard hockey fans. Imagine the marginal ones. Like, they're going to be gone.
This is where it's really going to hurt. Yep. Like, you know, when the game's back on, I'm jumping. I'm jumping right on.
Yeah, because we're the Canadian abused spouse. We're going to jump back on. But
exactly. I mean, I followed the 67s, well, for at least 30 years. Honestly. I can remember following the 67s for years and years and years. And players who played for the 67s who went on to, you know, great things in the NHL, but I'm still a big fan of junior hockey, and I'll still follow junior hockey even through the lockout and after the lockout. But if you want me to follow the Senators at well for the sake of all things holy and human, lose your egos. Guys, lose your egos.
And yeah, but you, right. Yeah, but Cardinal, you're gonna follow when it comes back, right? You're gonna be watching it and probably going to games. Agree, disagree.
Following it, yes. Going to games, honestly.
Half time.
I knew you'd come back. I love you.
I will go. I will go to the last game of the season. Until then, no.
Okay.
Honestly, no. I will go to the last game of the regular season.
But you will go. See, the thing is, and Canuck alluded to it, was how many people do you think that maybe picked up a couple Kings games in their run? And maybe not necessarily big fans of it or things like that, but they might have been interested. Now you're going to take it away?
True.
They're cool. We won the championship. Maybe I'll start paying attention. That'd be really... Oh.
Maybe I'll catch a game.
Oh, okay, it's not. Never mind. Hey, well, Lakers are on.
Exactly. And that's the type of fan that you need to grow the game, and you're losing it right off the bat.
Say what you want about the fair weather fan, but they're paying the same money as the diehard fan, too, that ticket.
Yeah. And you need a lot more fair weather fans than you need diehard fans, because diehard fans will buy their 10 tickets every year.
Yep.
The fair weather fans are the ones you need. Good point. Absolutely.
And we,
I can't argue with it.
There's another thing here we should not lose sight of. Right after the last lockout, there was a podcast that started called The Sens Underground.
Yep.
And what happened last year? They retired Shredder, Stooley, Russell.
They jinxed it. They jinxed it.
You have got to get back on the airways, and until you do, this lockout is going to continue. So it's on you. It's on you.
Yeah, we should blame them. Okay, we'll get them on for our next podcast, and then we'll just chastise them.
At least you get a response out of them, right?
I'm just going to blame Stooley's daughter. So.
I've met Stooley. That's a very brave thing for you to say.
But have you met his daughter?
Not yet. Not yet. Only via Twitter. Only via Twitter.
Wait, she's tweeting already?
No, just Stooley. Just Stooley. Da-da. All right.
Right. Where do you go from here, boys?
All right. I think we've ranted on just about enough, and people have probably hit pause already, so it's time to move on to something else. Yep. Around the league.
No, hold on. I want my hockey.
Okay. Finish ranting. I'll go on to that afterwards.
No, keep going.
Okay. With respect to the Senators, I mean, over the summer, there were actually three prospects from the Senators who attended World Junior Development Camps. So we could be, even if there's no NHL hockey, we could be seeing Senators prospects playing in the World Juniors around at Christmas time, which is good news. It's good news, right? We have Cody Ceci, who'll be playing for Canada, who, by the way, in case you haven't heard, was named co-captain of the Ottawa 67s today. He'll be captain for all the home games. And Sean Monahan, who was an undrafted player, likely to be drafted in the top 10 in the 2013 draft, he'll be the captain for the away games.
Okay, hold on a second. What happens if we lose this season? What's happening next year in the draft? Is this another lottery thing?
I have no idea.
Is Brian Burke getting another top five
pick? I don't want to talk about Brian Burke. I'm sick of him, and we haven't even talked about him tonight. All right, let it go. So World Junior Christmas time, we could, as things stand now, we could see Cody Ceci playing for Canada.
We could see
Mika Zibanejad playing for Sweden, as in the goal scorer who won the gold, you know, won the gold medal in overtime last year. That one. Exactly. And we could see Stefan Nason playing for the U.S. So we could see three Senators draft picks, at least, playing in the World Juniors. We could see other ones, depending on how things go. Hard to say. But at least three, which would be pretty cool when you stop and think about it. And today, the Binghamton Senators announced their training roster. And if their training roster, I don't know about you guys, but if their training roster has anything to do with what their team finally looks like, obviously a lot of teams in the AHL are going to be stacked with young NHL players, especially Edmonton's farm team. I don't know what Edmonton's farm team actually is, to be honest. But Ottawa's...
Yeah, I think they're in Kansas City or something, or OKC.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know exactly. But Ottawa's... Like, Bingo Sens announced their training roster today, and looking through the list, it's stacked with high draft picks and free agent signings. And
Cowan's going to demolish in that.
Oh, my God. I mean, just the forwards, they're looking at Kanaan, Caprusso, Cowick, Corey Cowick, former Ottawa 67, Jacob Kulek, who played for, he played in the Quebec League. I can't think of who they played for. Stefan DaCosta, we know that name. Drzezinski, Derek Grant, Wacy Hamilton, free agent signing from the Western Hockey League. Mike Hoffman, Jessamine, Darren Kramer, that's the peanut butter guy. Daniel New, he's a free agent, signing from college, I believe. Jean-Gabriel Pageau, Pelt, Andre Peterson from the Swiss Elite League, Shane Prince, Ottawa 67, Cole Schneider, free agent signing from U.S. College. Yeah, Jakob Silverberg, Mark Stone, and Mika Zibanejad.
I wonder how the people in Binghamton feel about all this extra attention and all these extra players that are being sent down. Like, does the fan down there get excited because, oh my goodness, look at all this talent coming in? Or did they get a little bit upset because, by doing that, that means some of the younger and upcoming people are getting pushed down to, ECHL and ECHL. All those things?
Well, they're probably going to see better quality games.
Yeah, it's going to be a quality game. I mean, that was just the forwards. When you look at the defense, and I'm just not going to name all of them, but the defense could be Andre Benoit, who's a veteran AHL player who's had time in the NHL, Borvievsky, Jared Cowan, Eric Greiba, veteran AHL guy, won a Calder Cup, Patrick Wierkosz, Frederick Claussen. Like, that's a stacked blue line. Those are guys who could be playing on the big team, but are going to be playing in Bingo this year. Well, at least they're on the training camp roster. And in goal, we have Robin Lehner. I was interested to see that Binghamton didn't have Ben Bishop on their training roster for training camp.
I saw that on Twitter, people saying that he was going down, but he is on a one-way, so he'd have to clear waivers. Well, one, he's on a one-way, so I don't even think you would send him down in a lockout.
I don't know if the team sent him down already or not.
I don't think they will, if they even can, because he's on his last year. So one, you got to pay him $1 million because it's a one-way.
Yep.
And then after that, he falls to UFA, so you're just burning him.
Absolutely. But I mean, Binghamton's got a pretty good list of players on their training camp roster, and I mean, when they break camp and start playing, they're going to have a pretty good team.
Yeah. So, and when we're looking at goal, Lawson was good, and Lehner. So you've got a good one in there.
Yeah. Exactly. And not only that, but in case anybody doesn't already know, the Team 1200 in Ottawa, team1200.com. will be carrying Binghamton Senators games on the radio. So if you haven't been able to listen to them, I tried listening to Binghamton Senators games last year because I listened to them during the Calder Cup run when the Senators missed the playoffs that year, 2 years ago. And I followed the games all the way through the playoffs, because the Team 1200 was carrying them. And I really enjoyed it. And last year I tried to listen to them and I couldn't because the website that the Binghamton Senators stream through, if you try and access it with a Canadian IP address, denied.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the Team 1200 has already announced that they'll be carrying Bingo Sens teams, team games on the actual radio station. So anybody in Canada will be able to tune into the Team 1200 if you happen to be in Ottawa or team1200.com and be able to listen to those games. The play-by-play guy is... a fellow by the name of Grady Wittenberg. He calls a good game. Like, he really does. So you'll be able to catch what's going on with the Bingo Sens until this whole lockout. I'm sorry, it's not a work stoppage. It's a lockout. is solved. Sorry. I have no time in I have no time for management garbage lexicon. It's a lockout. And no matter what you call it, it's still a lockout. I don't want to get into that again. But because right. I could rant on for the next 15 or 20 minutes and it will be absolutely not interesting at all to anybody who's listening. So let's move on.
Well, yeah, it's time for us guys to take another work stoppage. So we'll be back right after this break.
Okay.
Matt. He just signed for 3 years with the New York Islanders. Good for you, son. At my age, he's probably too old to still play in the NHL.
Dad, Martin Brodeur is older than you, and he just signed a 2-year, $9 million extension with the New Jersey Devils.
Really? With my high blood pressure and bad knees, I'm sure to be rejected. You must have to take a medical.
No, you don't. If you're over 35, the CBA clearly states that if a player signs a multi-year deal, that amount will count towards the team's salary cap regardless if you play. That's guaranteed income whether you play, are injured, or even choose to retire.
Well, it would be reassuring to have some extra money. Let me take the number down. Garth Snow, General Manager, New York Islanders.
At the New York Islanders, we know it's important to have guaranteed income to leave money to those you love. If you're over 35 and sign a multi-year contract to play with us, that money is guaranteed whether you play or even retire. In case of accidental injury, your benefits are still covered. That's worry-free coverage for your entire contract. Just ask Rick DiPietro, who signed a 15-year contract extension with no medical exam or health questions asked. Here in Long Island, we even have a state-of-the-art, world-class facility where you can play. Call now for your free brochure on playing with the Islanders. You're under no obligation to join, and no agent will call.
Contact us at Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, Uniondale, New York, 1-866-555-6700. That's 1-866-555-6700. Some conditions may apply.
The OHL came out with some interesting information on fighting, but before we get to that, I wanted to talk about the fact that Ottawa Senators prospect Matt Pumple, who was one of the three first-round draft picks from a couple of years ago, has been named alternate captain of the Kitchener Rangers for the upcoming season. So, just like Cody Ceci, who is a co-captain of the Ottawa 67s, we have another first-round draft pick who's going to be a captain in the OHL. Pretty good stuff. Well done drafting Ottawa Senators. Now, the OHL has come up with some new rules on fighting for the upcoming season, which starts tomorrow. The first 10 fights for any player, okay.
No penalties?
No additional penalties.
Oh, okay.
All right? No additional stuff.
No supplementary discipline.
Very good. Well, very good point. No supplementary discipline. For fights number 11 to 15 during the regular season, 2-game suspension. For fights number 16 plus in the regular season, 2-game suspension plus the team is fined $1,000.
The team, not the player.
The team is fined $1,000.
I don't think these guys make much.
They don't make anything.
They don't make.
I could see people chipping in for that one.
Exactly. And for fights number 10 plus, where the player is the instigator, instead of a 2-game suspension, 4-game suspension. However, it's a discretionary call for the referee and for the league. If the player is in more than 10 fights, like 10 plus fights, so they're in the 11th or 12th or whatever, if they're in their 12th fight of the season, but they're not the instigator, i.e. someone picks a fight with them, that fight does not count towards their total. And they're not considered to be a suspensionable offense. So, say Ottawa 67's guy is in his 12th fight of the season, but somebody picks a fight with him and he just fights to defend himself, that may not count as his 12th fight, and it won't count towards a suspension.
Kind of like the Chris Neal, Evander Kane thing.
Yeah. David, yeah, if it was Evander Kane. David Branch, for anybody who doesn't know, David Branch, who's the commissioner of the OHL, tends to be,
he I don't want to say draconian.
Yeah, he sets the bar and he enforces it. But he also understands that there are situations where the bar doesn't necessarily apply. And I think they've laid this out rather well. You know, the first 10 fights, okay. After that, 2-game suspension up to 16 when it's 2-game suspension plus fine. But if you're not the instigator, like if someone picks a fight with you because they're going, oh, well, you know what? He's at 12. He's at 12. Let's pick a fight with him and he's going to get a 2-game suspension because we want to get him out because we're going to be playing him 3 more times before the end of the year. It doesn't count. And I don't know. I don't know about you guys.
Well, how many games in the season? 65, I think?
60-something, yeah. 60-something. Now,
so to get to 10, that's going to take some time too, right?
Yeah. If you look at the 67s, they have a couple of guys who do fight quite a bit. And last year, nobody went over 10 in the regular season, as far as I can recollect.
Okay.
Nobody went over 10. So
this is where I see this really working.
Yeah, exactly.
This is going to be, it will eliminate the staged fight.
Yes. The people will only traditional fight. Goon rule.
Goon versus goon, exactly.
So that'll be gone. And I think fighting will only occur when you...
It's a real fight.
Yeah. And there's
you're annoyed with somebody who's just taking a cheap shot.
Cheap shots, things like that. Exactly.
Exactly.
Like so, in the same way, like with your when you're driving, right? And you get caught speeding, you get points taken away.
Exactly.
Well, do you really run it all the way to the gun before you go to court?
Yeah. Do you think the NHL should go this way? To get rid of the, you know, the guys who play 4 minutes a game and do the stage fight and then don't, you know, they're nailed to the bench for the rest of the year?
That's the only effect it would have. And I don't really know how many people are left. Like who, name a fighter in the NHL that you think fought more than 10 fights in a year and how much more?
It's hard to say.
I mean,
Konopka probably didn't even play that many games either.
Well, Konopka had a bunch of them, but he's going out and he sees his equivalent on the other team and he figures he has to do the hug, tug and punch him in the face thing.
I mean, who was that idiot in the Leafs who would Karkner always ended up against?
Coltnor.
How many times do you think he fought during the year?
How many times was he nailed to the bench?
He got sent down because he was useless.
Exactly. Brian Burke had a press conference saying he was useless. It's not fair that I have to send this guy down because he's no longer useful in the NHL. So I think the OHL's onto something. Because fighting for real, you know, you've annoyed me, you've pissed me off, you've cheap-shotted somebody, we're going.
Yeah. So there's still the risk that you're going to get your face pounded in
if you
cheap-shot someone.
Exactly.
And that's a policing, the internal policing that you kind of want.
Exactly. The old Darcy Tucker, Mike Fisher situation.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I'm going to pound your face in because you cheap-shotted me. Not the Brian McGrattan versus Colton Orr or you know, Matt Karkner versus Colton Orr.
Yeah, round 2 and 3 and all.
Exactly.
Is that not anything? Yeah, totally agree with that.
I think it's a good idea.
Will the NHL do it? They'll look at it.
They'll watch. Yeah.
If these guys have seen international hockey and haven't picked up no-touch icing, who knows?
Does the NHL even have its act together? That's a rhetorical question. They're not going to look at this.
I think they'll look at it. This will probably go to competition committee. It'll be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah. Hey, how does that affect revenues?
It'll be interesting. I truly think that the OHL has their stick on the ice with this one, and it'll be interesting to see how it turns out.
Our fans would not want this.
Yeah, well, care.
They really need to promote this OHL guy. They just keep doing everything right.
Yeah. Well, hey, never know. David Branch might be the next commissioner of the NHL, and then all would be good. Who knows? But that would mean that would involve firing Gary Bettman, and Gary Bettman wouldn't get his $8 million salary every year. So who knows?
They're not going to do this. They cannot even do consistent suspensions as things are right now with the existing rules in the league. So, I mean, we can dream all we want, but there's no way.
I think Brendan Shanahan was being told what to do rather than being able to do what he wanted to do. But that's another rant for another day. I have a different one, and I'm going to start on it right now. At the end of last season, we had NHL owners who were saying specifically that contracts were too long and the whole situation, the whole outlook had to change. Specifically, Craig Leopold from Minnesota is a guilty party in this one, who said, we really need to restrict the length of contracts. We need to restrict the amount of contracts because it's just not sustainable. And I did a little bit of research because I'm not Pan, so my math isn't quite as good.
Thanks.
I wanted to do a little bit of research. And since the end of last season, I wanted to look at how many contracts were longer than the 5 years that the quote-unquote owners said, we want to restrict contracts to only 5 years. Well, how many contracts were signed that were longer than 5 years since the end of the season? And the number astounded me. It's 16. 16 contracts were longer than 5 years that were signed since the end of the Stanley Cup final.
It's pretty much one out of every two teams having committing themselves to one of these.
Exactly. Now, one of them is local. It's the Apostle.
Yep.
Erik Karlsson. Okay. But there were 15 other ones, and there were a number of teams that had more than one. Minnesota, that's the one everybody knows, Parise and Suter, 13 years, $98 million. And it was Craig Leopold from Minnesota who was the one who was saying...
He signed off on it.
Exactly. He's the poster boy who's saying, we need to restrict contracts to 5 years. Things are out of control. We really need to get cost certainty into it. And he goes out and signs Suter and Parise to 13 years, $98 million. Would somebody please kick him in the behind with a steel-toed boot? We also have Carolina. I had forgotten about this one until I did some research. Carolina signed Jordan Staal to a 10-year contract extension, and they signed Skinner to a 6-year contract extension. Edmonton signed Eberle to 6-year, and Taylor Hall to 7-year. Montreal, Pacioretty. Nashville, Shea Weber to 14-year to match. Nashville being a small market team, they signed Shea Weber to a 14-year, $110 million offer sheet that the Flyers had put in because Ed Snyder, being one of the big profitable teams, said, I can screw this small market team and get the player I want. And Nashville matched it. The interesting part of that is there is no trade clause or no movement clause, that contract. And that's what I found interesting.
Weber's contract is a movable contract. How old is he? 27, 28?
Something around that. For the first 4 or 5 years, there are...
Yeah, he's getting big, big money in that part. Exactly. Then his quality might diminish, but also that his pay diminishes. But so I think that's a movable contract.
It's unmovable for the first, say, 4 or 5 years while there are big signing bonuses. Every year there are big bonuses. But after the
agreed, but Nashville will want him for that period of time.
Exactly. Like,
this is where I'm on the fence with these ideas, because when we're looking at some of these guys, Seguin, 6 years, Karlsson, 7 years, Jeff Skinner, 6 years, Eberle and Hall for 6 and 7 years. These guys will still be quality players over that time.
Absolutely.
But when you're looking at Parise at 13 years, Sutter at 13 years, Weber at 14, Crosby at 12 is a lot.
With no insurance.
No insurance. He's and these guys, you know that, well, Crosby set aside on this point, but these guys will not play that long.
Nope. Absolutely true.
So you know that this is really is circumventing some type of idea.
Circumventing is the perfect term for it. It's a way to get around the cost certainty that the NHL demanded in the last CBA.
Yep.
We need a new CBA because we can't control ourselves.
We lost an entire freaking season because the owners demanded this cost certainty, and then all they did was find a way around it.
Don't kid yourself. They're going to find a way around the new one when it happens too.
Absolutely. So, I mean, whether it's Crosby or Matt Carl from Tampa Bay or Jason Garrison at Vancouver or Evander Kane in Winnipeg or John Carlson in Washington, all of these contracts are more than 6 years. They're trying to find a way around the CBA because that's what the owners wanted to do. They wanted this cost certainty, and then all they did was find a way around it. And all I have to say to that, whiskey, tango, foxtrot. You wanted this, and then you found a way to get around it. What kind of idiots are you? Well, Primus into Paris. I'm going to find a way to be the first among equals. And if that's the case, then these owners have brought this lockout upon themselves because they can't control themselves. And if they can't control themselves, then how dare they blame the players for the situation they're in today? I'm not saying the players are blameless because the players say, hey, you want to offer me this money? I'll take it. Absolutely. But if the owners demanded this in the last CBA and then all they did was spend 7 years trying to find a way around it, then they are the ones to blame for the situation we're in today. And I say this as a guy who's never going to make anything like what even a guy making NHL minimum money is making in my lifetime.
It's tiring. You just bang your head against the wall when you think about it.
Yeah, but when you bang your head against the wall enough, you get blood flowing into your eyes and you can't see anymore. So life becomes a little simpler. But this whole thing, I give up. As Russell said in one of the last episodes of Sens Underground, like the Sens Underground actually broadcasting, I'm tapping out. I got nothing. I got nothing left for this. And it annoys me as a hockey fan to say this, that I've got to the point where I just can't comprehend how million-dollar owners and million-dollar players can't sit down and come to agreement so that the common man, and I'm pointing towards myself when I say that, the common man can't enjoy going to a hockey game and cheering for the team that he holds above all others. Get it done. Simply get it done. Put your egos aside, put your crap aside, and get it done. And unfortunately, personally, as a hockey fan, I don't think we're going to have NHL hockey until sometime in 2013, if we have it at all.
Okay, you're going to make us cry now. Can we go to something fun and positive, maybe?
Yes, we can. It's time to go into something fun and positive. Pan contest.
Well, I don't know if I can do it. I just slipped my wrists.
Hold on.
All right.
Apply pressure. Finish the segment.
All right.
Yep. Put some pressure on that on your wrist. It's okay. We're going to go.
That's right. I used hockey tape. Hockey tape fixes everything.
There we go. Take it away.
All right. Perfect. So, as you guys know, we had a Twitter contest out there. Had quite a bit of entries here, too. So, just with the Twitter update, we're now up to, I think, 310 followers. So, that just keeps on growing. So, 300 followers, 3 episodes. Using that extrapolation, if we hit the 200 episodes like SU did, we're going to be in great shape. All right. So we had a ton of entries. So a lot of them were great. Some of them just funny too. Tom Sands was all over the place where somebody else, I think he wanted to, two other people wanted to eliminate him just because of the amount that he threw in.
He's throwing the quantity versus quality thing.
Yeah, he must have just Googled Muckler and Suck.
And just I think he did every single one of those. Yeah, he categorized every single one of the Muckler Suck. He did very well at it. Got to give credit.
It was just awesome. So, yeah, we had a ton of entries both on the forums and on Twitters. Things that I really liked here. Boys, feel free to kind of jump in at any time. Accents, just saying gladiator guy. We all know how embarrassing that was. What else do we have here? Lindsay McG_21, choosing Redden over Chera. That was more popular in different ways, shapes, and forms. 2007 was huge. 2003, that one was also a killer.
Yeah, a lot of entries for 2007.
Oh, here's Sistine. Sistine. All the haters booing Spezza. Well,
sit back down.
When he stops backpassing to no one, we can talk. There's been a couple here.
Spezza, you play like Swiss cheese. Don't ask me why my Swiss impression sounded Italian, but anyway.
There's a great one. Bonks Mullet.
Wait, Bonks Mullet is the disappointing moment, or that's the user?
Yeah, that's a Twitter handle, okay. Which I just think is fantastic.
It's funny that people say,
"Can I submit Matthew Schwinnall twice?"
That was solid.
That was just great.
Yeah, it's funny that people mentioned Bonks Mullet, but nobody ever mentioned Alfredson as Krusty the Clown with his big poofy hair.
Which one, Alfie?
Yeah.
Ron McLean did that enough for us.
Okay.
Lake Verbandra, that was quite popular too.
Brooks Light Verbandra, that was a big fail.
It was this. What else is around here? Anyways, actually there was another one and I'm trying to find it.
There's a lot of references to the Jeff Friesen goal.
Yep.
The Eastern Conference Finals, forget the year, 2003.
Yeah, that was one. There were a few references to Alfredson shooting the puck at Niedermeyer too.
Yeah. We were looking at this and one of the things is, you know, most disappointing moment. And I know one thing I kept thinking was like, okay, what exact moment? You know, you take a look at a scenario that maybe unfolded over months that was disappointing, but thinking of a moment.
Yeah,
what were the finals? What were the finalists there, Pan? Are you getting to those?
Yep, yeah. Sure.
Like the finals, for me, the finals 2007 wasn't a moment.
It was stretched out.
I was bummed that we didn't win in 2000. We didn't hoist the cup in 2007, but we made it to the friggin' finals, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
2003 was a better chance, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like, to say that the 2007 finals were a disappointment, no.
They were a lot of fun.
We made it to the finals, and I remember being, you know, out on Sands Mile or sitting in a bar or whatever, cheering the team for every – like, I can remember watching the game against Buffalo in overtime where Alfie scored on the 1-on-4 and just – you know, going absolutely insane and paying my bar tab. I remember to pay it. And then running out onto Elgin Street and just going friggin' nuts. And then the finals 9 days later against Anaheim. That's not a disappointment. That's, okay, you know, I'm disappointed we didn't win, but it's not a disappointment that the Senators didn't win. The Senators made it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
They weren't the better team in that.
Yeah, they had a 9-day layoff, and they were calling the game Western Rules, and the Senators didn't win. But it's not a disappointment. They made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, for crying out loud. I'm proud of that team. I was one of the people out at the airport the next day when the Senators came home to cheer them, saying, you know what, you guys lost, but we're still proud of you. And there must have been 10,000 people out there. And the Senators as a team were just, you know, the players were astounded that there were that many of us out there going, you didn't win, but we're still proud of you. So that's not a disappointment.
That was one hell of a run.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what's the winner? Sorry.
All right, sure. Yeah, let's go through some of these honorable mentions, that because we gave it our own scoring system and each of us kind of voted. So just a couple more shout outs here. Mike Rowe _ I love this one. 0102 lost game 7-3-0 to the Leafs, and his dog died the same day.
Oh, that's harsh.
That one was a little bit rough to take there. There you go. Misconduct for the 2003 Eastern Conference Final. Simon Bloom, 88. Alfredson shooting the puck at Niedermeyer in dying seconds of finals.
Yep.
That really didn't show the sportsmanship. Definitely some points there. Last runner up here, Sumnick. Pronger getting only one game for the elbow to McCammon's face in the Cup Finals. Totally agree with that.
Solid. One game for knocking a guy out and leaving him sprawled on the ice. Yep.
Yeah, just unbelievable there. And I don't remember how instrumental Pronger was for that series, but he's Pronger. A big player there.
Yeah. So what's the winner?
The winner? I don't know if you got a drum roll in there, Canuck. Probably not. All right. Anyways, there we go. So the winner is Gabriel Marie _ for watching Niedermeyer raise the cup instead of Alfie.
Absolutely.
So still absolutely part of that 2007 cup run, but just watching Niedermeyer do it instead of Alfie, that hurt. I remember just walking away and taking the bus home from City Hall.
Oh, I was somewhere on Elgin Street and just going, that could have been Alfie. You know, I'm not disappointed. I'm disappointed for Alfie. I'm not disappointed because the team didn't win. I'm disappointed because I wanted Daniel Alfredson to be the guy who did that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we missed out on that.
Exactly.
Might be the closest that he'll ever get.
But I'm still proud of the team, which is why I was at the airport the next day when the team got back.
So what was the big prize, Pan?
Yeah, what's the big prize?
What I'm trying to do and what we'll do is I'll ship that out to Gabrielle. I think she lives out in Toronto, so now I got to pay for that.
So you're going to ask this female for her personal information to send it to her.
Yep. So, Gabrielle, if you're a listener, because I know you don't follow us on Twitter, but
well, this is good already.
Why are you ignoring me? Didn't you get my texts? No. Yeah, so if you do listen, email me at pan@ sendscallups.com.
Something like that.
Or we'll still reach out to you too.
Or you can just email us at podcast@sendscallups.com.
That works too. But unless you want to just keep it between you and me.
Yeah. And the prize is?
What I'm looking to do is maybe get a phone call in with Gabrielle and have her reaction as she opens it. But we'll see how that goes.
Oh, keep everybody hanging. I like it.
Yep.
I like it. Okay, so we're not going to tell. We're not going to tell everybody what the prize is. So we'll have to wait for Gabrielle to be online with us on our next podcast to let everybody know what the prize is. The prize is good, by the way. I have to. Pan gets all the credit for this. All the credit. It was, and it's a very, very appropriate prize for the biggest disappointment in Sens history. That's all I'm saying.
We are legally allowed to ship this, right? It's not like a steaming pile of something, right?
Yeah. it's nothing like that. It's a legitimate prize.
Thank you. Okay.
It's pretty awesome if I do say so. So
absolutely. You get full credit for this. It's a legitimate prize that is exactly what any Sens fan would think of as the biggest disappointment in Sen's history, this is a good one. It truly, truly is. Okay, so panel, I'll leave it up to you to get in contact with our contest winner.
Yeah, we'll take care of that.
All and I know it is, it's the shield from that Sen's gladiator guy, right? With the notes on the back.
He's Sen's army.
Yeah, that guy. Well done. Well done. So we'll have Gabrielle on our next podcast, I hope, and then we'll reveal what the prize is. But suffice it to say, it's appropriate for what this contest was all about, the biggest disappointment. Absolutely. Well done. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up enough for now for this particular podcast. Yep. You can follow us on the Sen's Underground forums at sensunderground.com. Lots of posting still going on there, even in the off season. You can follow us on Twitter at Sen's Call-Ups, and you can always post, you can always send us an email, podcast@senscallups.com. This podcast has had a lot of bitching and whining about the lockout. I'm sure there's going to be more to come. Guys, any last comments? Any last thoughts?
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to thank Dan Russo. Met out when I was out in Vancouver. So he posts on the forums as Darcy Lowen.
Ah, okay.
So Dan, it's great to meet you. Thanks for the soundbite for the start of the show. Good. Thought I had something else, but yeah, a couple of us tend to bounce around a bit. So if ever we're out of town, it'd be great to meet up with some of the outsiders. Oh, that was it. If anyone is in Binghamton, please email us.
Yeah, if we've got anybody in Binghamton, especially who's going to the Binghamton games, please email us. Give us an indication of what the atmosphere is like. We want to talk to you. We want a regular report as to what the games are like.
Yeah, not we just might have games. To do some groundhog road trip too, so who knows?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Canuck?
When's our next episode? Whenever the heck we feel like it.
Our next episode will be when the heck we feel like it, exactly. Whenever we feel like the rage is just boiling over and, I mean, whenever we think, like Shredder, that I've got a lot of rage and we need to put out another post, another podcast, that's when we'll be putting it out. So, I'm Canuck. Sorry, I'm not Canuck.
Hey, wait a second here.
He's Canuck.
Why are you guys switching shirts?
Yeah, I'm Cardinal on behalf of Canuck and Pan. This has been the Sen's Call-Ups on the Sen's Underground Network. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back sometime in the future, hopefully soon, when the lockout is declared over. But if not, if we've got a lot of rage, we'll be back before the lockout's over. Thanks for listening.
Good night. Okay, let's get Pan to the hospital now.